Welcome to the Lost Library, Seeker. Enjoy your stay.
To another Lost Library blind box.
Hi there, I am Annie Creighton of Crooked Russian Cam. I do Gem Jammer, the Gem Jam. I will fight you and date me, damn it. I am going to be your storyteller here.
Hi, I am Alyssa Hinson. I previously played Trish on Mompocalypse, and I will be playing Amelia.
My name's Jackie. I will be playing the greedy little girl named Jade.
I am Christina Woods. Today I am playing Charlie, who is the traditional. You can find me on Twitter, at CWoodsArt. I've got my own show, which is The Home for Wayward OCs. And Instagram and Tumblr are both Christina Woods Art.
I'm Mac. I'm playing Lori, and I hate Christmas. And I'm with Annie on everything that she's on.
I'm Melissa Wilkinson. I'm on Twitter at WilkyWit. That's WILKYWIT. I am on lots of other Lost Library campaigns and one-shots. I'm a co-host on the Whatnots Review Show podcast. And today I am playing the Star Archetype, and my girl is named Mavis.
I'm Shannon Maynor. I am a co-host of Kingdom Smarts and a cast member on the Cool Kids Table. I'm playing a character named Ashley. You can follow me on Twitter at Shannon Maynor.
Okay, so you guys have been to a couple of different worlds now. You struggled a little through some of them. Through some of them, you've gotten pretty good at it. You found Christmas trees in each world where you have placed your stars. And slowly yet surely, these Santas are getting more and more information on everything. You guys have gone to... Alright, do you want to try to do some short things? Do you want me to just tell you the worlds that you've been to?
Let's tell us the worlds, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alright, you guys have helped St. Nicholas sneak through a house while keeping Daddy in his kerchief and Daddy in his cap, Mom in a kerchief, keeping them asleep. You had to deliver a whole bunch of the presents, and it's weird because that Santa didn't actually talk. He just kind of stared meaningfully at you. It was really uncomfortable.
Wait, Annie, which team was doing which one of these?
Let's say Team Juicy Fruit did that one.
Sounds about right.
Anything in particular you guys did all there?
Try to keep out of his eye of sight. He's trying to give us meaningful looks. Not into
that. Sounds good. God, you guys are so horny. You guys horny for Santa. Team Bungle landed in a world where they had to go through some really awful Christmas discourse debate about baby, it's cold outside. Any particular arguments you guys made while there?
The bro one sucks.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Everyone agreed on that.
Everybody agreed. I somehow put on my shoes and everybody was delighted by my opinion.
Yes.
Team Juicy Fruit landed in a tap dancing Santa's world that was full of about 25 tap dancing Santas where you had to figure out who the real one was. While also dancing your hearts out. Who succeeded the best there?
We should roll for it.
Yeah, that's
okay.
That's a good idea.
What is this? A nimble?
Yeah, highest one gets it.
11.
Eight? That's a 10. Oh, so close.
Oh, the 11 got it.
Oh, princess gets it.
The princess got it.
Of course.
You were the star. Team Bungle, you guys had a really weird experience where you accidentally killed Santa and one of you became Santa.
Oh, no.
Roll me a wonder. Oh, the highest one became Santa.
I rolled an 8. Wonder and the highest one becomes Santa.
Oh, please, yeah. Lori. Please, Lori.
I only got a 5.
I also rolled an 8. Is this a roll off?
I will concede to that.
Actually, I'm giving the tiebreaker to Lori here because that's most funny to me.
Yes!
Lori, how did you do as Santa before you found some other schlub?
Lori wasn't the best Santa, if anybody can imagine that. Ooh, shocker. But she was very good at hurling presents at people. Top notch. If somebody handed her a present, she could hurl it straight at a kid and it would smack them in the face, and it was perfect for them.
Oh my God.
She wasn't a good Santa, but she was a strong Santa.
Yes.
Team Juicy Fruit, you guys actually landed sometime after Christmas, weirdly, in this world you landed in. It was on the Feast of Stevens, and there was a Satan Wenceslas, the good king, was trying to make it through a blizzard to go help a man get food. Everybody roll me a nimble roll, and the highest one tells me how you guys helped out Good King Wenceslas and his page.
6.
7.
4.
Alright, my 7. How'd you guys do?
7 doesn't get this reference. 7 has never heard the song.
Has anyone else here helped out Good King Wenceslas on the Feast of Stevens when the snow lay round about deep and crisp and even?
Brightly shone the moon that night, though the something.
Frost was cruel! Get it together!
I don't know this one. Is this green
sleeves?
That's green sleeves. It's the one about how sleeves are green.
I'm glad Team Juicy Fruit is just very confused.
Okay, Juicy Fruit had to help you guys through this one. They kind of sang the song for you. It was really awkward.
Yeah, this time it's none of the kids. This is actually Juicy Fruit's time.
Yes.
Juicy Fruit felt really good about themselves for once in their life.
We did that. If we don't save Christmas, we did that.
We made a difference.
We helped Juicy Fruit.
Made a little bit of a difference, yes.
Team Bungle, you guys landed in Halloween Town, and you had to go through a forest to get back to Christmas.
I sang along the entire time.
Very tired about being kidnapped.
I'm not even rolling this one. Shannon, this is all you.
Kidnap the Sandy Claus.
You guys roll me a deck to determine how you got all the missing Christmas presents back from Oogie Boogie.
What are we rolling?
I just beat him up. 13.
I got an 8.
I got a 3.
Deck.
I found my calling. It's beating things.
Awesome. Lori led the charge here. How'd you get back the presents?
Beating him up. I just charged in, and as the bugs came down, I turned to Charlie and I'm like, Charlie, get in there and sing those songs at him.
I'm over the corner like, Mr. Oogie
and you, Ashley, with the broom, smack the bugs.
Also, it turns out in that world that Jack Skellington was actually the beacon, because it doesn't necessarily have to be a tree. He's just really got a lot of Christmas spirit in him.
Oh, he just put a star on the top of his head.
He's very tall.
Aww. Yeah, he did.
He does.
He had to kneel down. He was very tall. Hey, Team Juicy Fruit. You guys landed in Nakatomi Plaza. It was really weird. There wasn't actually a Santa there. There wasn't actually really much Christmas stuff going there at all. It's almost like it wasn't really a Christmas world. That was weird. Somebody roll me a deck for a kick some ass to see how you helped get rid of the terrorists at Nakatomi Plaza.
I was gonna say, if we could put a star on top of Jack Skellington, we can put one on top of John McClane.
You do, actually.
I have a 6.
I have an 8.
I have a 3.
The 7-year-old kicks the most ass.
Alright, my 8, did you help out John McClane? Did you take care of business on your own?
Did you write, I have a gun now, ho ho ho, on someone?
Did you make them all believe in the magic of Christmas? What'd you do?
I'm trying to think. I have my Christmas cracker. So.
What'd you pull out of the Christmas cracker?
A gun.
No, I probably... She probably...
Has a crown.
I have
to wear the crown.
Yeah, the paper crown comes in it, no matter what.
Whatever.
It just says, say hello to my little friend.
Or there was like a gunfight happening, you pulled a cracker and someone thought it was a gunshot and they like fall out a window.
You pulled out a bunch of super cute like Hello Kitty band-aids for the bottom of John McClane's feet.
That's probably the most accurate.
Oh my god, if only one of you had actually had the Christmas shoes, John McClane could actually get some shoes on his feet.
Oh, you know what? That's what came out of the cracker. Some nice little Christmas shoes. But he has to wear the paper crown.
Excellent.
So the rest of Die Hard is exactly the same, but he just has a little paper crown.
And elf shoes. Yes. They're yes. definitely elf shoes.
With, like, yeah. snowmen on
Perfect.
Them.
Well, I think we have one more Team Bungle. You guys landed in a very mundane world. It was a Hallmark Christmas movie world where you met up with Mr. Winter, who insists that, shh, I'm not Santa, shut up. You have to help me get these kids to fall in love and kiss.
Lori is invested.
Charlie is also invested.
Is it one of those generic holiday movies that's just two white people on the cover wearing red and green?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
It absolutely is. The pretty 30-something Holly has to get together with handsome Brian, her childhood friend, who is not only the parade commissioner, but also the man shutting down her Christmas store, and he's a fantastic woodworker. I want all you guys together to tell me how you get these two schlubs together.
Why did that come so easily to you?
I'm wishing I was at the Die Hard world.
Oh, you don't have to roll anything. I want you to tell me how you get these two awful people to fall in love.
Charlie triggered a meet cute by having them trip over the fruitcake.
Spectacular.
Ooh, that's a spectacular one. Lori helps by setting up a date by writing them both romantic love letters and having them meet at a diner, and they both think that the other one wrote the letter.
I keep trying to tell the girl she deserves better because he's probably poorly written.
It's true. She does. And yet, despite that, and plus your help, they meet up for the tree lighting ceremony and have one extremely chaste single kiss of true love.
Do we have a fast forward of time where at the end they're getting engaged the next
no,
year?
No, it's not a good Hallmark Christmas movie. It's one of the bad ones.
Dang it.
Ashley's just in the background going, boo.
They have one extremely chaste single kiss. The tree lights up behind them. It's a Christmas miracle. Somebody climb up and get the star. You set it on. And then Mr. Winter is like, wonk, I'm not really Santa, but I am. And then you guys left and Bungle vomited because this whole thing sucked.
He just earned being called Bungle.
I love Hallmark Christmas movies. Okay.
Lori does note as they fly away that she kind of wishes Holly had gotten with her cheerful best friend who kept encouraging her to try to find love again.
Oh, you mean her cheerful best friend who's like the only black person in town?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a lot more chemistry, honestly. All right, so you guys have been through a lot together. It's been a really long Christmas night. And Madame Claus brings you all back to the Guiding Star, where she welcomes you in the hall. Many of the Santas that you have helped along the way are now sitting in their council seats. It looks a lot more full than it did, though there's still lots of empty seats, lots of fallen worlds, lots of imps. And she announces to you all have done a marvelous job, exceeding all expectations. Half of our spirit power is already back, and we believe that we have figured out exactly where all of the spirit and all of the kidnapped children have been taken. We call it, here she pauses for dramatic effect, because even she is not above this. We believe it is a place called the Land of the Forgotten Feast.
Annie, that's rad as hell.
That is right.
It is a desolate place. One that has been full of a hunger that has eaten and eaten and eaten. It is a place that we no longer go to. In fact, no Santa has been there in quite a long time. I believe that the masses of the dark imps have all retreated there. We have enough power within us now, thanks to your aid, in order to take off the main force, but I am afraid, children, you will all have to go it alone. Bungle, Juicy Fruit, the train has been repaired and you both may fly it. work together this time. I believe you have enough experience with the reindeer that this may work. In fact, we can hitch them up to the front just to make sure that we don't completely run out of spirit this time, if that would make you more comfortable. And Juicy Fruit is like, yes, it would, actually! This is horrible! Children, you will go with Bungle and Juicy Fruit on the train. We can draw off enough of their forces to get you into the main realm, but we have no idea what awaits you in there. It is lost to Santa time immemorial. Immemorial? I don't actually know how that word's pronounced.
Immemorial.
That sounds correct. Thank you, Charlie. Once you are inside, you will be on your own, I'm afraid. You must defeat whatever is inside, or perhaps make an alliance with it and talk it out of things. I believe in whatever course you children choose to believe best. We believe in you. And as you believe in the Santas, may the Santas believe in you, and may Christmas be with you.
With your spirit.
And also with you.
No, it's in with your spirit now.
Oh, okay.
Wrong spirit.
I'll tell you a story about that later.
Wrong spirit. We can't get into that spirit. That's a whole other kettle of fish. And you guys can load up on the train. Do you have any last things that you want to say to the Santas, to Madame Claus? Bungle and Juicy Fruit will be going with you, because I like saying those names a lot. We're about to head into the final assault. How do you guys want to prepare yourselves?
Lori puts on her Christmas shoes. I got a 3, so she is horrible to be around.
Oh, good. So the usual, then.
Yeah, so it's the usual. Yeah, exactly.
You are hated and feared.
Yes, she seems to expect this now after having been Santa for a while.
Before we set off, I want to ask if there's any cute coffee mugs around, which I imagine, of course, they are. And I just want to pour everybody a little bit of my everlasting mug of hot cocoa, like... Okay, comrades, enjoy this moment of peace before we go into that dark breach.
So what is this cocoa like? It is definitely, it may be cured cocoa if you really want it to be, but what is this hot chocolate like for you? What have you made for us?
Rich. There's a slight flavoring of cinnamon in it. Some hints of real honey for sweetness. And the marshmallows are just soft enough where they're almost just melted and completely without any physical form, but not quite yet. And there's a little bit of whipped cream in there, too.
I was going to sing Les Mis, but then I got real sad and decided not to.
I went the other round of shots.
Drink with me.
I really want hot cocoa now.
Basically the same energy.
The 7 and the 8-year-old are on a sugar high now, thank you, Mavis.
The sugar high will carry you through the final part of this mission.
Yeah, may it brace them for the coming assault.
We're ready to go to war.
But it's that little kid where I can't fall asleep, so I'm going to talk a million miles an hour type of attitude.
Yes. We're speaking a different language right now.
Yes. That we just made up.
Yes.
Just now.
But we both understand it.
Yes.
We're at 1.
All right, what are the rest of y'all doing?
I write a poem for the Grinch and hand it to him.
The Grinch takes your poem? Roll me.
I actively wrote this poem just now in 5 seconds. It is.
Oh, okay. You actually wrote
this
poem.
Oh, my God, Matt.
Well, then I think you have to recite it for us.
It is the ultimate in bad poetry. I hope you know.
Oh, no.
I'm ready for it.
I am a gourmand. Perfect. It is titled, The Best Santa. The Grinch is by far the best Santa. He's definitely cooler than the state of Montana. He has a dog that is named Max, and he only turns into Santa at the story's climax. They call him the Grinch because he's grumpy, but I like him because he's dumpy.
The Grinch is touched. He starts crying a little.
Lori doesn't like that, and so she quickly backs away.
He doesn't like crying either. You both have an incredibly awkward and yet spiritually connected moment.
She pats him on the arm a few times before she heads towards the train.
He gives you an awkward kind of half pat.
Perfect.
How's everybody else doing?
Charlie's gonna go up to Madame Claus mm-hmm. and hold out the fruitcake and say, "Ma'am, I honestly don't know why I got this. I used it for two things. I hit some imps with it, and we set up a couple. And that was it. And I don't know why I have this or why I'm even here. Ashley hit a whole bunch of things. Laurie beat some people up, but I just kind of stood there."
Madame Claus thinks for a moment. And then she sort of kneels down and beckons you close. "Let me tell you a secret, Charlie. You see this fruitcake? It's a tradition. People always have Christmas fruitcakes. And yet no one actually knows why or what it's for or if it even tastes good. The jury seems to be out. But here's the thing. It's all made up. Most traditions are completely made up, in fact. They're what people make of them. That fruitcake is whatever you make of it. It's whatever you bring to the table. It's whatever tradition you choose to make. And that sort of goes for you as well. Charlie, you're whatever you bring to the table. You're whatever tradition, whatever you want to make of things. If you choose to stand by the sidelines, that's fine. No one is asking any more of you than you can give, because they don't need you to be something other than what you are. Just like this weird fruitcake. It's whatever you make of it.
Okay.
Does that help at all? I don't usually talk to children.
Charlie looks at the fruitcake in her hands and says, "I feel like I'll understand it better when I'm older, but I appreciate it."
Let's go with that. Listen. Maybe you should have some more cocoa.
I'll just be skating around and standing mostly awkward in the corner, because I'm the one that doesn't actually celebrate Christmas, so all this is kind of weird.
Nicholas St. North hangs out with you.
Oh, hell
yeah. He's delighted. He wants to try the skates. He's not very good at them.
I'll show him how to do it. If he can show me how to stab someone with a sword.
He gives you some sword fighting lessons with your broom. So you get some basic strikes down. You do like a kind of a kata, nice. I guess. He does it, he uses one sword, so you have something to deal with there. Someone wanted to have words with Santa. Do you want to do that now? Do you want to do that later?
She does want to have words with all the Santas. Mm-hmm. So she stands, I guess, in front of like their circular table or wherever everyone's sitting. And she's like, gather around. Princess Jade has an announcement.
The ones that are sitting in their seats kind of lean in with interest. The mall Santas are actually on the floor. They kind of like lurk around you as one.
Only 100% terrifying.
That's how we roll.
So, since I'm saving Christmas, that means you have to grant my Christmas wish, because that's the rules. I read books and watch movies. I know how it works.
The mall Santa's talking about says, yes, that does seem to be how it works. Yes, yes, yeah. Peas and carrots. Peas and carrots, yes, yes.
So, from every Christmas, now until the end of time, when I'm like 16 or something, I want my mom to be there for Christmas, and I want my stupid babysitter, Brittany, to go away because she's rude. And that means that you guys have to give us lots of money so my mom doesn't have to work.
Charlie has sympathy with Jade now.
Most of the Santas are completely taken aback. They kind of hem and haw. The mall Santas look at you and as one voice say, "What about a football instead?" What about a nice football?
She hits the collective with her wand. No, football's not going to work. That was my present last year.
You hit the knee of one of them, but they all three recoil the same way.
Oh my god.
It's either this or we don't save Christmas.
Well, there's a gentle murmuring in the Santa Council. You hear a watermelon, 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 peas and carrots, watermelon, peas and carrots, watermelon, watermelon, watermelon. Because I'm a theater kid and you guys have to deal with that. They agree. The mall Santa speak for them. We shall work something out.
I know where you live now. And she does that little, like, eye, looks, points at her eyes, points at them.
Okay. Anybody else want to do anything else before we go?
Get on the street.
Okay, rad.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you guys all load up. Bungle and Juicy Fruit are Pilot and Cove Pilot. You can see the reindeer. Let me remind you of their beautiful names. My wonderful children, Nimnod, Jeffy, Donder, and Porkins, are all hooked up to the front of the engine. And they are kind of giving it an extra spirit boost. And as the Santas all load up in their own sleighs, they are going to be traveling alongside you. So you guys take off in the train through another portal. You can see around you Santas, old and young, new and ancient, and also St. Nicholas is there, basically flying like Superman through the sky with like one arm back and the other one ready to punch something. Yes! Because he senses heretics, and St. Nicholas is nothing if ready to, not ready to punch heretics. And you guys come out into a... You guys come out over a huge forest, a barren forest. It's all muted and gray. Everything is gray, gray, gray. There is a fog blanketing the ground. And around you, there is a flying squadron. All of these huge sleighs led by rain snakes. Which, by the way, Madame Claus still has no explanation for. A huge flying squadron coming straight at you from outside where they're outside the hastily boarded up a hole in the side of the train. You hear Madame Claus say, "Go on, we'll take this. Go, go, go." And she rallies the Santas around her. "All right, are you ready, everyone? Now dash away, dash away, dash away all." And the Santas scatter. Taking in platoons filled with Christmas magic, you see fireworks almost red and green and glimmering silver and gold lighting up the skies around you. It's a rough landing as Bungle and Juicy Fruit take you in. And you break through this fog and into what seems like an endless wood. The train seems to just absolutely stop as you land, and the reindeer look weary. Even Bungle and Juicy Fruit seem very tired, and Bungle turns to you. "All right, kids. Oh, jeez. Jiminy Kringle. I ain't got no spirit left. Juicy Fruit, what, are you okay? I'm out, too. This sucks. I hate this place." The elves are completely out of spirit. Bungle tells you that you guys better go on ahead after them. They'll see what they can do to get the reindeer back in order, but if they go any further, they are either going to turn into imps or they're just going to be... Oof. They're just going to be totally out of juice.
Can I leave them my phone with Spotify open?
You 100% can.
Is this music to help?
Yes.
And they cling to it like one does to a bowl of chicken soup when you have a really bad cold. And so you guys step into this forest, and as you move through, the mists start to clear, and you realize that you're walking on a forest filled with, the floor of it is filled with very, very faded, but still present yellows and reds and oranges. It is a forest where all the leaves have fallen. And it's chilly, not cold the way it has been. It is chilly. You guys break through the forest. You see a great figure come towards you.
I just got it.
"Ah, children. Welcome. Welcome to the feast."
And the mist clear. And around you are tables. tables upon tables upon tables, each set with a huge feast. And at the tables are children. You know, you see at least 50 tables around you, but as your eyes adjust and the mist clear, you realize just how absolutely endless this is. It's a feast, no matter where you look. And standing at the center, wearing a black hat with a buckle on it, is a gigantic turkey.
Seeing Christina lose it was probably the best thing about that.
Welcome to the feast, children. My name is Tom Turkey. You probably haven't heard of me. That's fine. I'll fix that soon enough. I'll fix it all. This turkey is like the size of a horse.
Question.
I'm really excited about this.
Yeah.
What are they eating? Are they eating turkey in front of a turkey?
No, that's the weird thing. There's a whole series of food laid out, but and like you do see some turkeys, you know. It's a whole thing. It's a turkey. But all of the children's plates are empty. And you hear like the scraping of their forks and knives on the plates, because they all seem to be eating things, like they're mimes or something, but they're not actually eating anything. In fact, none of them even seem to notice you. It's pretty weird. So Tom Turkey spreads his feathers wide. So, do you guys want to have a seat? Because I know a good table. All tables are the kids' tables here.
I'll pass. We had a lot of cocoa.
Ugh, cocoa, wretched stuff. I have lots of sherry, though. And cans of Coca-Cola. And Sprite.
I'm not allowed to have soda past 8.
Oh, it is timeless here. In fact, time doesn't start until the Thanksgiving feast is over. Until we have all given thanks. What are you children thankful for?
Getting my little brother back.
And, are you looking for him at all?
Is there a baby table?
Put the kids' table and the baby's table.
Give me a chill roll.
9.
Yeah, you look around and you do actually see in the distance there's there does seem to be a table set with like a whole bunch of high chairs. And after some looking, you do actually see your baby brother there. He is just as sort of vacant as the rest. He doesn't have any silverware because he's a freaking baby. But he is kind of like sort of barely fingering things with his little like baby paws. And kind of like shoving like some stuff into his mouth. In fact, there's like there's a box of Cheerios in front of him instead of like turkey or something.
It's the only food we can see is the Cheerios.
Yeah. It's really it's the fanciest feast that he can handle.
Baby.
He's a freaking baby. Oh, that one's yours, isn't it? Don't worry, there's plenty of feasts to go around. Well, children, I hope you don't mind, but I'm afraid that now you're here, you'll have to feast too until the feast is ready, until everything's eaten.
I filled up on hot cocoa and cookies on the way over.
That's terrible. We have plenty of pumpkin pie, eventually. Dessert hasn't been served
yet. It's Thanksgiving, everyone's late.
Doesn't look like anything has been served yet.
Doesn't this sound wonderful, though, children? A whole feast.
Can I roll I don't believe in Santa Claus just to see how much I don't buy any of this shit?
Yeah, go for it.
I have a plan when you're done, man.
Yes.
I have a capital P plan.
Perfect. All you, Charlie. I just got a 5 and 4, so 9 plus chills to 11.
Tom Turkey is... Well, the pumpkin pie isn't ever coming.
Figured.
There's no pumpkin pie here. There won't ever be a pumpkin pie. Tom Turkey is very delighted with himself, but he's definitely not telling you everything about what's going on here. And he's definitely definitely not planning on letting you go.
Perfect. So while Charlie's doing her thing, I just want to note that I am giving Tom Turkey the best teen glare that I can. The one that my mother is immune to, that everybody else hates.
Oh, you're also still wearing your Christmas shoes and everyone hates you.
True.
That's true. It's true.
Tom Turkey finds you repulsive, and this is talking from a guy with a waddle.
Mavis, you know how to make a Christmas turkey, right?
I handle in baked goods. I've never made a turkey before, but I've seen my dad do it a lot. And I know you tie the legs up with a little bit of twine, and you've got those Christmas lights still.
I do, and you happen to have a knife.
I do.
Okay, I have my plan.
All right.
Which is, if I approach a table, does a plate and cutlery appear?
Yes. Well, Tom is going to start leading you to an empty table. And as you walk up to the table, six settings do appear. Knife, fork, spoon, salad fork, etc. It's a very fancy Thanksgiving.
Okay. I want to take a plate and there would only be one knife on the setting. The knife and the plate up, mm-hmm. and I want to kind of walk forward towards him with, like, them balanced in one hand and the other hand in my pocket.
Okay, so you're walking towards him with a plate in your hand?
Yes.
Okay.
And with the other hand, I am going to put my fruitcake on the plate.
Okay.
And as I go up to Tom Turkey, I want to look at him and say, "You asked us what we're thankful for. We have this thing in my family where," and this is me using my "that's how we've always done it"
yes.
move.
Yes.
we have this tradition with my family, which we didn't get to do this year, but we got to do it the year before that. Where it's always for us, we always go over to my grandparents' house on Thanksgiving and we have a big dinner. And then they always send us home with leftovers, even the cranberry. No one likes the cranberry, but grandmom still sends it with us anyway. But then the day after Thanksgiving, we always have a big luncheon, and my mom and my dad and my siblings and I, we sit around and we have our Thanksgiving leftovers. And we start getting ready for Christmas, but it's while we're still eating our leftovers. Because Thanksgiving leftovers are always around. Always. I don't know how. And it might not be pie, but I'd like for you to have some of this fruitcake. And what do I need to roll to see if I can cut him a piece of the fruitcake?
Okay, okay, first off, let's resolve this. I'm gonna go ahead and go out on a limb, but I believe everyone at the table has heard of this sort of tradition.
The concept of leftovers?
Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah.
Leftovers, yes. And the putting out of Thanksgiving, the putting out of Christmas, the putting away of Thanksgiving, shit tons of leftovers, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Then since everybody at the table gives you, that gives you a +1 towards this. I am gonna say, if you want to, try and cut him some fruitcake?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Alright, and are you trying to do this with force?
No, persuasion. Because, like, he said, like it needs to, like, be over, so having dessert is gonna, like, end it. That kind of... And also just, like, sharing. If, like, Christina's train of thought here is forgotten feast. Like, acknowledging that, yeah, it kind of gets, like, bowled over for the Christmas tradition. But it's still there to get bowled over in the first place. It still gets celebrated. It's just, like, you celebrate it, and then you move on to the next holiday. And then you do Thanksgiving next year.
And the leftovers are still there.
And the leftovers are still there.
And they're still there. And still there. And still there.
Yes. Okay. So you want to use a charm for this?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Let's go for it. See how this turns out.
I still feel me. Okay. That is a grand total of 9.
And that's with your plus one?
That is with the plus one from the roll and... Well, that's the plus one from the tradition and the plus one with the charm.
Okay. That's a 9. So you... How are you cutting into this fruitcake?
I imagine kind of just trying to, like, saw one end off of it.
Okay.
Just get, like, a piece big enough that you can, like, hold it, but it's not, like, a giant piece of fruitcake.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna say, you're not gonna go in for one of the knives that, you try and go in for the butter knife that, that has been provided to you. It doesn't work so hot, but you do see some carving tools on the table next to one of the cooked turkeys. And with this carving knife, and, you know what, let's go ahead and make this an electric carving knife. You go in for it. It sounds like a chainsaw. It sounds like someone sawing down a frickin' tree, but you manage to get an infinitesimally small piece of this thing. Small enough that it's about the size of your thumb.
I lean down and I tell the fruitcake, thank you.
Oh. It believes in you. The fruitcake is trusting you here. And what do you do with this piece of fruitcake?
I plate it, because I imagine there's probably like a dessert plate or something.
Oh, someone want to help available. Out with a presentation?
Maybe.
Okay. You're gonna take, I know you don't like the cranberries as you say it, but you're gonna do a little drizzle just for some color, and then if you've got like some mint leaves anywhere around here, like a nice little sprig of mint I think would look good, and like one whipped cream splurt. Okay, that should do it.
Okay, so you hand this to Tom Turkey?
Yes, and I say, this is for you.
Oh, this is a delicacy. I've never had a fruit cake before.
Your fruited cake.
A fruited cake. How droll.
He picks it up in one of his like weird feather fingers that you don't want to think too hard about.
Makes me think of Grack.
Yeah. He opens his beak wide and kind of like sets it on his weird like tongue, his weird pointy tongue, and kind of like swallows it. It kind of like, you see it kind of dance down his weird incredibly long like waddly throat. It's really gross actually. he smacks his beak a couple of times like,
that's terrible. That's terrible.
That's,
I hate
what
it. You bring this to me? You come here? I offer you my feast. You bring me this fruited cake?
It might be terrible, but everyone eats it anyway.
Do they?
You know, kind of like turkey.
Yeah. We often eat it after, you know.
He places a feather hand on his breast.
You dare?
You should be happy I don't want to eat you.
Everyone wants to eat turkey. I'm delicious. Everyone is supposed to eat turkey. Everyone is supposed to enjoy turkey, enjoy the entire day. No, they cannot. This Black Friday comes and encroaches into my domain, takes from me, takes and takes and takes. I have decided something. I knew I could take as well. Aren't you tired of it?
Turkey?
Aren't you tired of Christmas all year long?
It's not all year.
I mean,
Christmas lights,
Anna,
on Halloween.
I wish it was the whole year.
No, because then we wouldn't get the other holidays. We wouldn't get Valentine's Day. We wouldn't get Easter. We wouldn't get 4th of July. We wouldn't get Halloween. We wouldn't get Thanksgiving. See?
Remembrance Day.
I don't know what that is. That doesn't sound familiar. I don't recall that.
It's the only British holiday I can think of. Leave me alone.
Boxing Day.
Boxing Day is post-Christmas. I didn't want to.
Technically, it's part of the 12 days of Christmas.
My mom tells me to remember the Alamo.
Is that the holiday?
I don't know. She tells me never to forget it.
I don't think I know that one either. Are you people putting me on?
Holidays. There's all kinds of holidays that have their time and then pass. Harry Potter weekend on Freeform. Honda Days. Talented Don Brown Honda.
You guys have a lot of weird.
I hear the Grinch stole Honda Days. It was very ill-advised. But that's my point. See, you see what I'm getting at. My holiday needs to have its day. Christmas has encroached too much upon mine. I will take it all if I have to. I have the cornucopia. It can go in reverse.
What's the cornucopia? What's that one? Can you show it? I don't think I've ever seen one.
Yes, actually. And he reaches behind him into his voluminous foliage. Foliage? No, that's for trees.
Plumage.
That's not for
plumage.
Plumage, thank you. He reaches into his plumage and pulls out a, you may know it as a horn of plenty. It's a long horn, hollow. It is brimming over with food. Grapes, which is weird. It's always got grapes in it, but nobody eats grapes on Thanksgiving. There's like some squashes in there. Maybe like a turkey leg. It's best not to think about it too hard. This is my beautiful cornucopia. I've had it for many years. I discovered that it could suck as well as blow. Like a vacuum.
Annie, what? Do that again?
No, I don't.
No.
You're just going to have to deal with horny Christmas.
Also, I found your problem. Your Thanksgiving doesn't have mac and cheese, so what's the point?
Well, macaroni and cheese is pretty good. I could probably make it give me some of the blue boxes. Wait a minute. You're getting me off topic.
Or try having a few Jamaicans, because then you get, like, oxtail. That's awesome instead of turkey.
Oxtail actually sounds
good. True stories.
But look, here's the thing. I can take spirit with this. I can take all of your spirit.
Or you can give us spirit.
Why would I do that? That's terrible. That goes against everything.
Because that's more important.
It's literally called Thanksgiving, not Thanks-taking.
No, I think I'm going to change that part.
I don't think anyone would celebrate Thanks-taking. Thanksgiving's much better.
Look.
Hey, look, you're still going to win in the food department because everyone's going to have a big Thanksgiving meal, and then it's the same food that you eat on Christmas and everyone's tired of it because you won.
Yeah, that is true.
Look, I'm very tired of this conversation. I'm ready for you people to go away. And he turns.
Would you be thankful if we left?
I would be. I'm thankful now. I'm thankful this conversation's over.
The conversation's not over. I'm still talking.
He turns on the cornucopia. And it starts to pull.
Lori grabs a plate.
you
twist the bottom.
It's Thanksgiving magic. Don't worry about it.
Turns into a bazooka.
You feel your energy suddenly drain away. Your Christmas spirit is fading. Your very will. Your body feels useless. You hear this voice inside your head. Sit. Eat. Eat until it is all over, until Christmas is gone and only Thanksgiving remains. How do you fight it?
I throw the fruitcake in it.
You throw the fruitcake.
It's like a potato on a tailpipe or something.
Yes.
I was gonna ask you guys to like each do a little emotional thing, but no, let's go with this fucking fruitcake.
Look, throwing the fruitcake saved the dog. It might help save spirit.
Okay, let's roll with this. You throw that fruitcake, you lob it right into the cornucopia. It plugs it up. And Tom Figgy's like, what?
It's indestructible.
What is this? I don't understand.
It's like the vacuum. Maybe turn it on the other way? To spit it out?
Yeah, you have to spit it out.
Yeah.
he's distracted while you guys are chattering at him. Anybody want to try to take him down?
I want to lift up a plate and just beam him across the head.
Holy crap. Okay.
Lori's answer to everything.
Yeah, you smack him across the head. Ooh. He's stunned.
I'm trying to think how Hanukkah can help us, because that's a big buffer between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and I feel like that has to give us some bonus points.
How, what can help? I think I mixed that.
Hanukkah.
Hanukkah.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a nice barrier that can, like, interrupt the Christmas for them.
You got some stars? You got some candles?
We do have stars.
What about the chocolate coins?
Oh, I love guilt.
Anybody have some, anybody got some chocolate coins?
I actually ate all of mine.
Hey, Christmas cracker.
Everybody looks at Mavis.
Christmas cracker. Christmas cracker.
Look, guilt. I've got sugar cookie crumbs, a big knife, and a lot of cocoa and marshmallows.
That's what comes out of your Christmas Quicks. Cracker?
No, that was just Mavis. Okay. Amelia, do you have your Christmas cracker? Could it make Hanukkah stuff?
I use my Christmas cracker.
Oh, you use it once per world. That thing's charged up again.
Oh, then I definitely use that again.
All right, what do you ask for it?
Ninja Stars of David.
I probably ask for some dreidels.
I'm into it. A bunch of dreidels pop out with a paper crown. What do you do with the dreidels?
I hand them out to all my friends. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to play.
You spin it.
Yeah. You spin it? I spin the dreidel with the paper crown on.
I actually can't remember how, like, because it falls on a symbol and then you're supposed to do something.
Like, one's a prize. One, yeah. You win a prize or something, and I don't know.
I know it's a gambling game for kids.
Yeah.
I think I'm learning I should hang out with my Jewish friends some more this week.
You could just throw them at him if you wanted.
We can spin it under his feet. Spin it in his direction so he trips on him.
Yeah, he stumbles forward. He trips on the dreidels. He falls flat on his face. He is prone now, by the way.
Princess Jade, wrap up his legs. Yes! Truss him up.
Yep. Oh my god. Yep, let's go for it. I'm at the ready with the knife. We need backup.
I can't believe we're defeating him by him being a pissant and not thinking of other holidays in the winter season.
So Jade runs over with her Christmas lights and she makes sure that they're obnoxiously Christmas, and goes ahead and starts just surrounding the whole entire turkey with it.
Spectacular! You hogtie this turkey up, but good. Let's see, how are we doing here? Has everybody done something cool here? I'm losing track. There are six of you.
I think so, but no one's gotten the cornucopia away from him yet.
Yeah. Who wants to grab that cornucopia?
Yeah.
Hey, Ashley.
Ashley, on your skate!
Yeah, I'll skate over and stick my broom into the cornucopia and just lever it out of his hands.
Yeah. Just like a lacrosse stick.
Yes. Awesome. Charlie, I want you to believe. I want you to believe in the fruitcake.
Yes.
Do you believe in the fruitcake?
I will believe in the fruitcake.
The fruitcake comes back to you. Whole once more. It is yours now. It was always yours.
Can I do a Christmas Eldritch Blast if I sign the pact?
We'll talk about it. All right, and let's see. Amelia, you are our heart here. You are our Shirley Temple.
I am.
I believe that you can handle this cornucopia.
Yep.
Use your Christmas spirit.
So,
how do you bring the spirit back?
Well, I saw that the turkey kind of flipped a switch on it, mm-hmm. So I'm going to flip it in the opposite direction, like on the vacuum when Mom vacuums up the rug.
All right, cool. So it starts to blow out. It's very low powered. There's a lot of spirit in there, but it needs some help to come out.
Start singing.
Yep, we need to sing, guys.
Do we need to like put our hands on it as we sing in unison and use our Christmas?
Yeah,
spirit?
I want you guys to all put your hand on the cornucopia. What song do you sing?
Christmas is coming, the goose is getting fat. Please to put a penny in the old man's hat. See, it's about another bird that's not a turkey. So that
I've
will
never
drain
heard
his
that song
spirit.
In my life.
Neither. I'm into it though.
Yeah.
The Muppets sing it. The Muppets sing it on John Denver and the Muppets at Christmas Together.
Yes! Yes! See, I was going to say we did that song.
Oh, wait, I think I remember this from a CD I had. Okay, great. So you guys sing this weird song that I've never heard of before. it is beautiful.
I feel like it starts with, like, Mavis and then Charlie, and then we're all just like, yeah, goose, egg, honey.
The other ones have never heard it. It's fine.
Yeah, Apple probably kind of hums along to, like, half of the words because, like, this is really out of her league, frankly.
Yeah. I'm still distracted with the dreidels. They're really fun.
Alright, so you guys basically, like, Sailor Moon this shit. You've all got your hand on the cornucopia. It starts radiating light and goodness and brightness. And all around you, the kids start waking up. They stop eating their endless, unknowing, forgotten feast. And they all start looking around as light returns, as snow starts to fall, and these trees, these empty trees, start turning into conifers. And as this forest awakens, as the children awaken, as spirit awakens, you feel Christmas, the spirit of it, coursing through you. It is the warmest you have ever been, and the coldest as well, because of all the snow. The Santas land around you. Finally, the imps have faded. They have all returned to being Christmas elves as the spirit flows back through the multiverse. Back in the guiding star, the Christmas tree lights up, aglow. Everything is brilliant and shining as the Santas all feel their powers returning to them. We see each one starting to get in their sleighs, starting to get presents, starting to make Christmas happen. Madam Claus comes to you, congratulating you, and also saying goodbye, because Christmas has been saved, and it's time for you to go home. Madam Claus takes you herself. The train is pulled. Bungle and Juicy Fruit are there. They drop you off one by one at home. You all say goodbye to Bungle, Juicy Fruit, Madam Claus. The reindeer, Nimnod, Jeffy, Donder, and Porkins. Because I can't stop saying those names.
They're very good names.
I'll miss you most of all, Porkins.
Porkins kind of licks your hand. Again, it's very sticky. It's unpleasant. And you guys all go to sleep. Your entire family is there that was there to begin with. No one seems to even notice that you've been gone. Ashley, you drop your baby brother back in the crib, none the wiser. You might even go downstairs just to, like, give a thumbs up to your mom, who's still on the phone, actually.
That doesn't help set up a timeline.
And you guys all head to bed. And on Christmas morning, you all wake up, and there's a present for you under the tree. In fact, you guys have all gotten exactly what you wanted for Christmas. What have you gotten for Christmas? Let's start with Lori. What's under the tree for you?
Well, Lori goes outside and walks down in pajamas. She's now wearing the Christmas socks her mom bought her the day before. And when she gets out there, she's surprised because her dad's actually sitting on the couch when he was supposed to be off in Shanghai or something for the week. And she lets out a shout of, "Dad!" and charges over and gives him a hug. And he goes, "We finally found Flossie." And holds out a brand new Jellycat bunny.
The one that you never got from Santa.
That she never got from Santa years ago.
Mavis, what's Christmas morning like for you?
My mom and dad, my little brother and sister, my grandma, and mom and dad, they wrote Santa on the package, and I think I can tell it's really from them, but who knows? Maybe this is the Santa of my universe that chipped in, because I've gotten a professional-grade KitchenAid stand mixer with all the attachments, and it is...
Holy shit!
Take care of the sand mixer.
And it's like powder blue. It's my favorite color. And I wonder if that was Santa's touch. If that's from Santa and Madam Santa. And I get a couple of my grandma's handwritten recipes. And we're going to make them together as a family. Because that's the best part of baking. It's the people you do it for.
My adult ass couldn't even afford one of those.
Jade, how's Christmas morning?
Jade runs down the stairs after she wakes up because she remembers the promise that she made with her Santas. And she kind of like skids in front of the Christmas tree and sees that there's a lot of presents under the tree, but no one's there. She can hear Brittany like in the kitchen just talking on her phone. And she just gets like really sad for a minute and kind of like grips her wand very tightly and is ready to throw it on the floor whenever the door opens. And she hears, Jade? And she's like, Mom! And runs to the door and just, like, throws herself at her. And then she's just like, I told you I was coming this year.
Ashley, what's your Christmas morning?
Probably pretty low-key. I'm trying to think. We definitely have to finish our breakfast before we open presents. Our presents aren't anything, like, mind-blowing. It's more just like, here's things you didn't buy throughout the year. Now you don't have to buy them because we bought them. And then we go see a movie. And it's just cool and we all hang out.
Mm-hmm. That sounds great. Amelia, how's your Christmas?
So Amelia actually sleeps in because it's been a long night. Her parents come and wake her up. And she had asked Santa for a pony.
And?
Because her parents do not have room for a pony, Santa decided she would get riding lessons instead. Ooh. And there is a little stuffed pony to be friends Ooh. With Mr. Cookie.
I love it. And Charlie, we started with you. We come back to you. What's Christmas morning like?
Charlie's Christmas morning, I imagine, she honestly doesn't have high expectations because, I mean, like, she made her Christmas list this year, and she wanted a She-Ra sword, and she wanted a bike, and she wanted an e-reader or some kind of, like, reading tablet. But when they got back, she went to sleep and, you know, probably heard her dad come in the door at some point during the night once he got off his shift. But when she wakes up the next morning, she gets to go out to, she, like, wakes up and smells, like, lots of food cooking, which is weird because it's just her and her dad. But then she goes outside, and Aww. Her whole family is there. Her mom and her younger brother and the twins, because her dad ended up going to the airport last night Aww. To pick them up from their flight. So they have breakfast together as a family.
Yay. All right, so one thing happens to each of you as you go through these Christmas mornings, whether you're out and about, whether you're at home. At some point during the day, you swear you see out of the corner of your eye a familiar Santa. One that maybe you have always known from your own world. Maybe it's one from another world. And you catch a glimpse only for a moment, and that Santa reaches up and, with a twinkle in their eye, tap their nose. You return the conspiratorial gesture, and in a blink of an eye, they're gone as though they never existed to begin with. But you don't necessarily need to know they're there, because they leave behind a wake of Christmas spirit, one that kindles a fire within each of you. Because no matter where you're from, no matter what your life is like, that spirit is something that will take you for the rest of your life, because, well, that's the magic of Christmas. And Christmas believes in you. And you believe in Christmas. The end.
I'm so sorry to ruin that moment.
Oh my god, that's so adorable.
That was the cutest.
That was precious. That was so precious.
That was the cutest sneeze I've ever heard.
Happy holidays, everyone.
The Lost Library is a production of the Fifth Draw family of podcasts and can be found at fifthdraw.com. You can email us at lostlibrary@fifthdraw.com or follow us on Twitter @LostLibraryCast.